Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas. Time for Texas Homegrown Music, and today's guest is Helene Cronin, a gal that I met through Scott Sean White, and I'm so glad he made the introduction because she's such a prolific writer, lyricist, just beautiful soul. Got some really incredible songs out there that I am so excited to share with all of you today. We'll be playing stuff off of her Old Ghosts and Lost Causes record, and then she's working on some new material too, so we'll talk about that as well. But before we do, I'm going to play a song for you, and I'm going to dedicate this song to all you moms out there that I know are struggling right now through this COVID time and having, you know, even more work to do with kids at home and lots of overtime that you're doing, just doing your laundry and making lunches and keeping husbands happy. I remember those days. My kids are grown now, and I'm glad I don't have to go through what you're going through. But just remember, it's all worth it when you hear those little ones say, "Mommy, I love you." So we'll play this song, and when we come back, Helene Cronin, I know you're going to enjoy it. Texas Homegrown Music and my friend Helene Cronin. And Helene, I've been really looking forward to getting to know you ever since, you know, we have a mutual friend.
He is.
White.
I should hire him for marketing.
He's a big fan of yours.
To get my name out there than just about anybody. Well, I'm very grateful for his friendship.
Well, it's always nice to have a fellow musician that is a fan, right? Because they can open doors for you in places that you don't even know about. And this is one of them. So I just want to tell you, though, so I did a little bit of research, and I you don't even know this, but I've been playing some of your songs on my show for a couple of months, and I'm a big fan because I as I read about you, I found out that you've been you've kind of been noted to sound a little bit like one of my other favorites, which is Mary Gautier or however people
Mary Gautier
her name.
I'm pretty sure.
Incredible lyricist, but I'll tell you what, she's got nothing on you because you have really painted some pictures in some of your songs for me. And
yes,
I'm always interested in a family. Did you read
The culture in our family was to read. And at times we didn't even have a TV. We had five kids in our family. My parents had five kids. And sometimes years without TV, and reading is what we did. And I was read to as a kid, but then I also picked up reading like my older brother and everybody after me. So yes.
Well, because, you know, people that I really admire their lyrics from usually have some kind of a background where they filled their mind and their soul with a lot of prose and poetry and novels. And
I do love words. Girl,
You really have
a gift. And, you know, a lot of, probably a lot of that inspiration. It's imagination. It's feeling that imagination when you're a kid. I think that pays off later when you decide you want to write songs.
Well, so tell me a little bit about how you got started, Helene, because I noticed that you won the New Folk, Kerrville New Folk contest in 2018. And then I went back and did some research and saw you had some.
Yes, I started out doing as early as
2000?
I began writing songs in college. Grew up in a family where reading was encouraged, but music was encouraged. And so I started out on piano as a kid and played piano all the way through college, but then picked up guitar when I was probably 13, 14, and became known as the girl in my youth group at church who played guitar. And so I did contemporary Christian music. I did three albums worth. The last one of that was in 2001. And then I began to write country songs because I got to know people in Dallas who were just writing about life. And that encouraged me to start exploring a kind of a broader arena of topics than I had ever done before. And began writing country songs, or really just singer-songwriter, just stories, and trying to put feelings and things I was processing into songs. So, you know, growing up listening and playing everything off the radio, what we would do after, like if we had a Thanksgiving dinner, what our family would do would be sit around with guitars and play everything, you know, from John Denver, Dan Fogelberg, Simon and Garfunkel, all that stuff. We just learned songs. And so I grew up understanding song and song structure, then wrote my first song in college and never quit. But it wasn't really till the late 90s, early 2000s that I began to really get serious and began going to Nashville, I think in 2004, and have been making trips up there ever since with greater and greater frequency as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested. So you did contemporary Christian music for a while.
Yeah, basically.
Did you grow up in a gospel church?
Up there, we went to a Baptist church, and we were very much the minority. It's highly Catholic and Jewish. And so we were one of the little only families, you know, not very many families grew up in the Protestant religion up there, and grew up hymn singing. I think that's another thing that has fueled my love for words and lyrics. And then we moved to Dallas and basically just went to an independent Bible church here. So that's that was my background in starting out. And I think when I began to open up the topics of my life, I think of it as early on, I would write vertically. I was writing, you know, songs about God and my relationship with him. But when I began to open it up vertically to human relationship and just my heart and feelings and stories, I just feel like it just grew exponentially. And that's where I began to have my first success too. And it was a real confirmation for me that I was not supposed to stay in this little bubble. Although that is right for some people, for me, it was time to break out of that and, you know, just find something real.
Well, we have a little something else in common.
Did you?
Yeah. So that's exactly how I started.
Where'd you go?
I actually went to Bible college and traveled with a group called Maranatha and did the whole thing all over.
I went to
SAGU.
That's awesome.
Southwestern Assemblies of God College. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, did that for a long time. And very similarly, I felt like I was inside of a bubble and wanted to move out into where I felt I could connect to people a little bit more, and,
right.
which is, and like I said, I think it's great if that's where people feel like they're led to be, but that definitely wasn't where yes. I was led to be. But it gave me a great foundation.
And I think if I hadn't had those early audiences, those church audiences, and opportunities to sing for women's retreats and lead worship, that's what helped hone my being comfortable being in front of people. Because honestly, growing up, the last thing I wanted to do was stand up in front of somebody and sing. I was very shy, and I've grown into it, and I love doing it now. I can hardly wait for my next performance. But that's not what got me into music. It was the writing, not performing. So I give a lot of credit to those churches and groups and people that would let me come and stand in front of them with my guitar and play louder than I sang because I was so insecure.
Well, you know, let you, because that's the funny thing is they look forward to it. And I know I'm, the services that I grew up in were long services.
Yes.
And people look forward to somebody getting up and giving life. A break and singing and bringing some, bringing some entertainment to it, right? Some life to it. And I'm so grateful for that. And I still am. And I still love it. I still enjoy, I still love a good old camp meeting kind of thing. So so that's fantastic. I love that. But tell me about the transition.
Yes.
And that's family? Are you married?
I'll tell you what, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Okay. Tell me about that and how that all plays a part. No. Tell me about how that's been, you know, what was that like? Raising a family and trying to
married.
Balance everything.
My husband and I just celebrated our anniversary this week. And I'm just going to say it's a lot of years. I'm not going to say how many. But we have two daughters and they're both grown and they're both out on their own now. They both live here in the kind of similar in the Plano area, not far from us. And at the time, being a young mom, so, you know, I was a young mom in the 90s when I was starting to dabble with country music and began to travel to Nashville. And that put a lot of burden on my family. My parents were alive at the time and they would take care of my kids. My husband would help when, you know, he has a full-time job. So everybody was filling in for me to help me make this pursuit, this calling on my life to help make it happen. So I made a couple of approaches to Nashville in the late 90s with young children, leaving them here at home. And then I quit because it was hard and my family needed me. And I wanted to be with them, but I never stopped writing. And so all through that time, I'm still writing. I'm working on ideas. I'm honing my craft. And then around 2004, I just felt this nudge and it said, everybody else will think that you gave Nashville a real shot, but you're always going to know that you quit. And so I began looking into going to some workshops up there and going to events. Nashville Songwriters Association puts on song camps. For as many things as I could get up for around 2004 to 2006, I would just go up for events and network and get to know people and work on my songs. And, met Hugh Prestwood that way. And Hugh, you know, of course wrote, the song Remembers When. He's a phenomenal songwriter. He kind of took me under his wing a little bit and mentored me. And so that's why I would get up to Nashville for these events, leave my family home, and then come home and take care of everything at home and then wait for the next event. And I probably went 3 or 4 times a year, began to work up to 6 times a year until the end of 2012, when I told my husband, I have to be in Nashville every month. I have to stop everything else I'm doing. I had gotten a real estate license and I was working, selling homes and love doing that, love being interacting with people, but I could not do 2 things with the energy that they both needed. So we decided that it was worth it for me to put everything else aside, real estate, any other income generating pursuit, and just do it. And ever since then, ever since beginning of 2013, I go to Nashville every single month, at least for a week, if not 2 weeks. I go up and I write. I've done my most recent recordings up there, my 2 EPs and my full-length album. I have a little squad of people that I write with, a team of people that I love to co-write with, and that grows and changes all the time. But, you know, finding your people to write with makes a big difference. And, you know?
Well, I'm so glad you did that, Helene, because it's phenomenal, the work that you're putting out right now. And I want to play a song off your latest record or EP, whatever we're going to call these things anymore.
just, it's a beautiful work. I know that it's called Old Ghosts and Lost Causes, but this particular song is one that people that have listened to my show have heard me play before. And I think it's a beautiful sentiment of the kind of person you are, mm-hmm. and the way that you think and the way that you feel. And the song's called Humankind. And I just want everybody to really listen to the lyrics of this, because mm-hmm. I know it's going to touch your heart and your soul, and it's going to leave you feeling good about people and about what they will actually do for one another. And thank you so much for this work. And when you come back, we're listening to Helene Cronin, and you're listening to Texas Homegrown Music, and we'll be right back with some more music from her. I know you're going to enjoy
it. He's an old man, a hard man, can't hold on to nothing, not his razor, not his temper, not his tongue. She's a young nurse, a sweet girl, comes in every morning, makes his bed, shaves his face, cleans him up. She's been there 3 years now, ain't seen one of his kids ever come around. So she drives in on her Sundays off to play a game of gin and take him.
With Helene Cronin, and I know you guys had to get goosebumps during that song, because the first time I heard that, I teared up, and I was actually there. I could actually imagine, you know, what it's like to be in a home and have people that you don't even know caring for you, and also mm-hmm. to be the girl that you talked about that actually comes and on her day off to come play cards. Yeah. With you. Feel like he's worth her time, and that he's not forgotten, and just a you know, a lost character in a book that we read about when he was young, but now he's, it's just so sad to me. And I think probably I'm a lot more sensitive to that because I'm older.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it's interesting. I'm in the last third of my Scott life. Sean and White I think at the beginning of this broadcast, more. And he was my co-writer on that song. And the song came about because I was looking at something on Facebook and it said hashtag humankind. And it was one of those heartwarming stories that you'll find a video. And it just got me thinking about the word and how to twist that word. And that's the kind of idea I'll take to Scott and say, look, here's one I want to dig in on. And he was the perfect person to write it with. That whole first verse, my daughter was a hospice caregiver, my oldest daughter for 7 years. And so while that story is not her exact story, a lot of what she would come home and tell us is in that, like a man, she would have to shave, you know, and I kept thinking, you know, what would this girl be doing for this man, shaving him, you know, just taking care of him. And so some of her experience fueled that first verse. And then the second verse, interestingly enough, is a little bit about what happened to Scott in high school when a new girl came to school. And he said, I just looked at her and went, she's going to need a friend. So when it came time to write that second verse, I said, we were struggling to go, okay, we've told this one story. What do we do for a second verse? And I said, you know, what about your story, high school? So it was a lot of fun. There might have been some tears in the room when we wrote that song. It took us, I think, two sessions, and it turned out better than I could have dreamed. Mm.
Well, it's because it's so human. It really wraps you around what life is really about, and I love that in a song. And of course, there's all kinds of different songs, and there's all kinds of different feelings that we get. But I'll tell you, your songs really do paint a picture, and you've had quite a career already. Yet. But I know if that I, you've got
yeah,
so much
if I didn't
more
believe
to
that,
do.
I don't know that I would keep and working as hard as I do. But I just feel like I'm on the brink of things happening. Winning Kerrville New Folk Festival was a big shot in the arm for me, just in terms of getting a little bit of recognition in the folk and Americana community, and then following that up with Old Ghosts and Lost Causes. Coming off of that win with an album like this, and this is a full-length album. The other two I do call EPs, but this is the first full-length project I've done in years, and to have it be as well received as it was, and now to have a stockpile of songs to follow up because I need my next project to even beat that. You know, so I can't come out with a sophomore project that is less than that one was. So I'm very excited about the new songs. I feel like the writing is stronger than ever and yet consistent with what that album represents of me and my heart and what I want to say to the world when I get the chance.
So because we're in the midst of COVID and so many people are at home writing, last
2018
last year,
songs
correct?
From 2017, 2018. I released it and 2019, some of them Ghost. I finished after we'd already tracked the band and I was writing with my friend Davis Corley and we wrote Ghost. So band had tracked in November, we finished Ghost in December. And when I played it for my producer, he said, that needs to go on your album, but we don't want to bring the band. I just want you to sit on a stool and play it as if you were in somebody's living room. I think the oldest song on that record is probably El Camino Fly. And I wrote that with my friend Dakota Jay in, I think, 2013 or 14. But most of the others were very much more recent.
And tell me about The Ghost, because, you know, I listened to that twice today. And, you know, at first it was very sad to me. And then actually it is actually not so sad after I listened to it the second time, because it's something that we're all going to deal
very
with.
On some the first song I wrote with Davis Corley was Riding the Gray Line, and that's on here too. And then the second time we got together, he said, you know, I've just been thinking about, you know, writing a song about a ghost. I don't even remember how we came up with it, but just talking about a ghost. And then we started talking about, well, what if he dies and does he come back and does he flick the lights on and off, or does he, you know, write in the steam of the mirror, you know, to his love, and that stuff felt like it had all been done, you know. And we just started to talk about this guy who dies, and yet because he's promised to love his wife forever, he is not free to leave that house, and then he's sort of sentenced to watch her be in love with someone else, raise a family with someone else, and yet he makes the choice
be in
to
love
let
with
her
someone
move on
else.
With life. And then at the very end to have to decide, okay, now what? When she dies, she's going to die, so what's going to happen? Are they going to be reunited? But no, we had committed so firmly to this, I'm going to let her, you know, let me go. And so at the very end, we had to craft the song so that he still continues to let her go. But I've had so many, my husband doesn't like the ending of that song. He goes, no, where does he end up? I don't like that he's not reunited with her.
Well, you know, my husband would love that song because he makes a big joke about how, you know, how from, you know, till death do us part, you know, and I always said to him, well, no, I want to be with you to eternity too. And he's like, no, till death do us part.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. the interesting thing is we didn't know how we were going to wrap it all up. It was very much, it unfolded as we wrote it. And I think that one took a couple of sessions too, because we got the idea going and then we had a month or so break. And then by the time we got back together, I don't know if I've ever had as much fun and mental work to write that, to get that song to be what it is. And it was a last minute addition to the album, and I'm so glad that we wrote it in time to get it on there.
Oh, isn't that's interesting, because I would have thought, well, so because the last minute addition to the album, did you come up with the title of the album after you put
that
song in?
I can't remember the timing of all that.
Or was it
Old Ghosts and Lost Causes? When I was thinking about, you know, these 11 songs, I was going, I don't know that any one of them really represents what the album's about. The one that came closest was either Humankind or Careless with a Heart. And I was going, none of those really are the essence of the song. And then I began to think about lyrics, and Old Ghost popped into my head, and that's from Riding the Gray Line. Old Ghost floating in between the future and what used to be. And then I thought about, okay, what could I pair with Old Ghost? And then I thought of the line Lost Causes in the song God Doesn't, where it says Lost Causes, they're his specialty. And I was like, ooh, Old Ghost and Lost Causes. So it's a completely made up title. And really Ghost, the song Ghost, didn't figure into that title, but it all fit. So by the time, so I think that is kind of the album is about
regrets, true.
Your past and your future and, you know, and redemption, you know, I hope. None of us are lost causes.
Well, it does definitely do that. Well, we're going to play, I know everybody's probably expecting me to play The Ghost, but I already
Careless with a Heart is a title. Careless with a Heart is a title that kind of just floated down one day, and I was like, "Ooh, I like that," and I don't know what that's about. And I thought I would take it into a co-writing session in Nashville. You know, usually I write with a lot of guys, and I thought, "Yeah, we'll write about how somebody broke our heart or we broke theirs." And then one day I was alone in my apartment in Nashville, and I was just playing this guitar thing. I had put a shortcut capo on the fourth fret, and I was just playing around with this bass line that really just grabbed me. And I went, ooh, how quickly can I use that to write a song? And what titles do I have? And I thought of Careless with a Heart. And I just began to write this lyric about how I have treated my own heart. So it wasn't going to be about what I did to someone else or what they did to me. But the thing that made it interesting was when I decided, oh, this is about how I treated my own heart and how wrong it is to be careless with something as precious as a heart. So I was very happy with how that one turned out.
Yes, it's just a beautiful sentiment, a gorgeous song. And I, again, your music is the kind of thing that being at home by myself, I can turn it on and listen to it. And it takes me down a journey of so many different feelings, and from childhood to adulthood.
Then
beyond. And that's, you know, that's what I love about it. And makes me feel all these things, and I just want
that.
You to know
please
I'm
stop
huge fan. I'm probably going to stop
I need
you
more
at some
fans,
point.
Though.
So
that's a high compliment, Maylee. I appreciate that very much.
Well, it's just, and you're a beautiful soul, I can tell. And I'm so happy that I've gotten to meet you and get to know you. And I want to have you come to the sanctuary and play sometime for sure. And love to have you come to Tufts Brewery when we do some of our events. It's just been really hard this year, I know, because
I love
so many people aren't playing. But I do see that you do like doing house concerts. So I'm hoping that people will reach out to you. And we have another friend of ours that's been doing house concerts and been very successful with it, because you're still able to social distance and be present with people. So if you guys are interested, please reach out to Helene Cronin. I know she's gone a lot, but I'm sure she can probably work something out. And when we come back, I want to talk about how people can find you the best way. But you're listening to Texas Homegrown Music with Helene Cronin and this beautiful song, Careless with the Heart, and we'll be right back.
All right.
I was the first to hurt it, cut it open, lay it bare, burning rubber down to metal, as if I had a spare. I was wild and stupid, let other people use it. I don't know what made me so careless with a heart. Then I buried it with my secrets, like a crime I had to hide. I didn't want to feel ashamed that it was mine. Heard it whisper, but I wouldn't listen. I left it to the shadows in the dark. It was almost lost.
Catch tomorrow night. You're gonna wanna hold me just like I always told you. You're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Nobody here will ever find me, but I will always be around. Just like the songs I leave behind me,
I'm gonna live forever now. You fathers and you mothers, be good to one another. Please try to raise your children right. Don't let the darkness take them. Don't make them feel forsaken. Just lead them safely to the light. When this old world is blown asunder and all the stars fall from the sky, remember someone really loves you. We'll live forever, you and I. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna cross that river. I'm gonna catch tomorrow night. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna cross that river. I'm gonna catch tomorrow night. Cross that river, I'm gonna catch tomorrow now.
So that's Billy Joe Shaffer, and that was a song called Live Forever, a song that he actually wrote with his son Eddie. And he passed away this last week, Billy Joe did, at the age of 81, joining his son wherever they may be in forever land. And I hope that they're reunited. I choose to believe in all the goodness of that and the afterlife. But I know this, that he claims that his son came to him in a dream and asked him to finish a record that he had started before he passed away. And his dad did just that. And I don't know why that story warms my heart, and I love sharing it. So Billy Joe Shaffer, live forever, and you'll live forever with so many Texans because you've written some incredible songs, Billy Joe. We thank you for that. So we're back with Helene Cronin. And Helene, I noticed that you said that you're willing to do some house concerts right now with everybody, you know, trying to social distance and stay separated because of this COVID thing. That seems to be a nice little option for people.
Well, the best way
how would they get in touch with you
website,
if they wanted to have a host?
And let me spell that out because I have a weird name, but it's Helene is H-E-L-E-N-E. C-R-O-N-I-N. So HeleneCronin.com. You can contact me there. That's probably the simplest way. I love doing house concerts. I love doing small, intimate venues.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your version of the Riding the Gray Line acoustic. So you guys, you're in for a treat. Here you go. Riding the Gray Line with Helene Cronin.
Side by side.
like sweat and hobo breath. These nameless towns are deaf and blind to this triple axle humming by. The tires sigh, another stop. A couple drifters stumble off. We all watch the open door to see who joins our lonesome. Keeping our cards close. We're all together on our own. The washed out vagrants catching sleep. The honeymooners traveling cheap. The runaway someone's trying to find. Old ghosts floating in between the future and what used to be.
Yeah. to you for the last time. Just enough to keep me believing we can see this thing through. Every mile I put between us is one less mile I have to ride before I set this guitar case down. See you for the last time, for I set this guitar case down. Come back to you for the last time. Yeah.
Well, this is one of those easy shows where she basically interviewed me, really, because I didn't have to say much at all. She really knew exactly what she was doing. And so thank you for that, Helene. I really enjoyed it. And you've got a new fan now. And that's what I love about doing this job. I get introduced to new people and new musicians, and my playlist is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I know many of you out there have already told me that I've told you about some new music that you love, and I appreciate that and love the feedback. Anytime you want to tell me about somebody, just send me an email, Maylee, M-A-Y-L-E-E, at texashomegrownmusic.com, and I'll investigate getting somebody on that you like. That's how I work. That's how I do it. Half the people on this show are because somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I heard these guys. I really think you need to have them on. So I've discovered lots of great musicians that way. Don't we all do that? We share who we love with our friends, and that's what's so great about engaging and sharing in great music together. I watched a great concert last night with some friends. Love the streaming platform. Be sure to look out at Texas artists, because they're all doing that right now. And I think that's a really great new thing that got started because of COVID. So we are going to pull some good things out of this year. And Guitar Sanctuary, we stream most all of our shows now. So you guys be sure and check that out. We're celebrating 10 years of bringing guitars and music to your life in Texas, and love that. And I want to say thanks again to Tupps Brewery as well, another one of our sponsors that always has great music at their venue, and all kinds of fun stuff going on, and fantastic beers that are in your local grocers now. So we're going to close the show today with another song here in just a bit, but I just want to say thank you again for all my listeners that come out every week and listen to the podcast and listen to the radio show. We couldn't do it without you, and I appreciate you so much, and I love the feedback. So remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. I love my life. I hope you love yours as well.